learning to live under God's control in an out-of-control world. Learning to live in God's control in an out-of-control world. That's what we're studying today in the second chapter of Daniel. Last week we covered the first chapter, and we'll continue on each week, each chapter, and we'll begin to see and glean through God's Word to see what we can learn from it, because God's Word has something to teach us. If we look around us, we can see the world is really out of control. We can see things going all different directions, and we wonder, where's God at? Why is God allowing these things to happen? Well, His Word says things would go worse, and then He comes. How do we live our everyday life? And it's amazing, we can go back to a story way back in the Old Testament, thousands of years, and see that something Daniel went through, we have principles to learn from it, truths to learn that we can even apply to our lives today. Just learning to live under God's control in an out-of-control world. If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 2 in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 2 in the Old Testament. It said, the more you try to control something, the more it controls you. Free yourself and let God have His way in your situation. Isn't that sweet? We could stop right there and just preach off of that. The more we try to control things in our life, it's amazing how often that thing just consumes us and we forget all about God. Maybe you're here this morning, that's what you've done. You've allowed a life situation just to consume you, and you really forgot that God is ultimately in control over all of it. He is the one in control, and He's wanting you to relinquish that. Listen, I hear a verse that is misquoted many times. I've heard many, many people say, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. And that's a lie. The actual scripture says that He will not give you more temptations than you can handle. And when He does, there's a way to escape. But people talk about the burdens of life. Oh, the Lord just won't give you more than you can handle. Yes, He will. Why? Because if you could handle it all, you don't need God. If you could just handle it, you don't need the Savior. You could do it all. You're Superman, Superwoman. No, God intentionally allows things into our lives that we can't handle in our own power, in our own strength, for the very purpose that He wants us to depend on Him. And we see this today in the book of Daniel. So we begin reading. Give you a little background on what's happening here. Daniel now, last chapter, you remember, Daniel was faithful to God and he got promoted in King Nebuchadnezzar's palace. So he was now part of the wise men, part of those counselors that Nebuchadnezzar would go to. Well, the king began to have dreams. God was allowing him to have these dreams about the future, about what was coming up. And the king was losing sleep. He was restless, and he just couldn't figure out what was happening. So he calls all the wise men in Babylon to come. He has astrologers and enchanters. He has Chaldeans. He has all the magicians. He has everybody that knows something in his court, except Daniel and his three friends. He has them all in there. Now, the king asked them something. The king said, tell me my dream and its interpretation. Magicians were like, wait, king, won't you tell us what you dreamed about and we can tell you the interpretation? The king says, no, you didn't understand. Tell me my dream and then interpret it for me. They were like, there's not a man around that can do that. There's no one in all the earth that can tell the king what his dream was and then interpret it for him. The king got furious. He told the chief of his guard, kill them all. Kill all the wise men in all Babylon. I'm going to start from fresh. Because if they can't tell me what I dreamed about, I really don't need them. They were like, listen, only someone from the gods can do that. Because they believed in many gods. And not, they don't live among humans. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar was so mad. He even sent the chief of his guard to kill Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. This is where we pick up in verse 12. So this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Listen, they weren't even in there. When Arioch, the commander of the king's army, or king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and with tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. And at this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Now he goes on to tell me about this dream. Daniel goes in, he tells the chief officer about the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has. And he tells about this statue that he sees, this giant statue, and on the top is the head is gold, and he goes down like the arms are silver and the body is bronze, and he goes to each part of the body. He says the feet are iron mixed with clay. And here's the interpretation of that. The golden head, King Nebuchadnezzar, that's you, the most powerful king in all the world. And God has allowed you to be there. And he goes to explain each one. And each part meant a new kingdom that came after Nebuchadnezzar. Now listen, Daniel went in there under God's power, told King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was. He didn't have any clue except God giving it to him, and then interpreted it for him. Verse 45, he says, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that all the offering and incense be presented to him. And the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. And he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. That's very important. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, as we read this account of Daniel's life and to see how you interacted with him. And God, he totally trusted you. Father, today, teach us that, God, you allow situations in our life that are just beyond us. And God, without your intervention, God, we would fail miserably. God, we have no hope. Our lives would be troubled. Our joy would be stolen. Father, today, teach us how to live under your control. In Jesus' name, amen. There are four lessons we can learn from this passage about submitting to God's control. Submitting to God's control. The first lesson is this, is that life really is out of our control. If you haven't figured that out yet, you will soon. Life really is out of our control. See, even our best efforts cannot control people from making poor choices or prevent problems from invading our lives. Even our best efforts, listen, you can work as hard as you want. You can't make someone else do anything. You can't make them choose right. You can't do anything to help them get over where they need to be until they're ready. Life really is out of our control. We see in verse 12 and 13, see, the king was furious when he heard this. So when these wise men told the king, listen, we can't help you, he was mad. And he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. And because of the king's decree, men were sent to kill Daniel and his friends. They weren't even there. They weren't even in the presence of the king. He had all these other jokers up there. Wise men jokers. See, there are times when you're dragged into a situation that someone else began. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes you're dragged into a situation that someone else got themselves into, and now they use your name or they pulled you into it with them. You can be a victim of other people's drama and their bad decisions and their foolishness. And you wonder, how did my name get in that? I had nothing to do with what they did. I'm wondering if Daniel didn't think about that. Lord, why me? Why me? I wasn't in there with those guys. See, for Daniel, he wasn't in the presence of the king to hear his problematic dream. Daniel was not among those magicians and astrologers and enchanters who were trying to trick the king into telling them his dream so they can make up a story. See, the king was furious at these guys. Yet in his anger, he wanted to kill them all. So Daniel and his three friends were just over there probably cooking a sauce. Nothing but vegetables, of course. They weren't worried about what's going on. But yet the king's decree included them, all the wise men of Babylon. Kill them all. So Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah all faced the same death sentence as the ones in the king's court that dreadful day. They faced the same death sentence. You know, sometimes I believe most people have felt the sting, the craziness, the hurt, the confusion of someone else's dramatic situation invading their life. I believe we can all identify with that to some degree. And maybe at some time or another, we were the ones causing the craziness. So you didn't cause it. Maybe in your life right now, you didn't cause the situation you're in. You didn't ask for it. Matter of fact, you even warned them about it. Don't do this. Don't do that. Because the consequences to follow the actions. Then you find yourself running the problem along with them. Listen, we can relate to this helpless feeling of unforeseen situations that had no apparent cause entering our life. Really, life is out of control. It really, we can't turn knobs and make it happen just the way we want it to. We can't push buttons in people's lives to get them to act right and behave themselves and do the right things. Boy, it'd be nice if we could. But then I wonder, what buttons would people be pushing in my life? See, we can only control our decisions, our attitude, and our reactions. Life is unpredictable and constantly changing. Maybe you're experiencing a life change that has gotten you anxious and you're worried. Maybe you've been victimized by people or problems. You realize how helpless you are against such a situation. You realize that life really is out of your control. That's what Daniel was going through. See, we can identify with this story that was 2,000 plus years old. We can identify with it. Here Daniel was, the chief of the guard comes to him and wanting to kill him for something he didn't have anything to do. It was said the loneliest moment in someone's life is when they're watching their whole world fall apart and all they can do is stare blankly. It's a lonely feeling. When you tried so hard to get things right, and you tried so hard to push people in the right direction, encourage them, and they still do what they want to do. There's so many things out of our control. We learned that lesson very quickly. The second lesson we can learn is this, is not to lose ourselves in bad news and dire situation. Listen, because we have a situation going on, because there's dire news, because we've got the worst news we could ever imagine, let's not lose ourselves. Let's not freak out. Always remember, even though we can't see God working, He's there. And He is not caught off guard by anything that happens in our life. He is not caught off guard. He is not surprised. He knew it all along. See, when troubling situations enter your life, you may feel like you're falling apart, yet Christ Jesus is here to hold you up and hold you together to guide you through the dark times. See, what we can control is our attitude about it. See, verse 14, 15, and 16 says, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. Listen, I don't know about you, but if somebody coming with a sword to run through me, I don't know if wisdom and discretion is really up there at the top. I'm thinking about running as fast as I can. He asked Arioch, why is the king issue such a harsh decree? So Arioch told him all that had happened. Told him the story about the magicians and the enchanters in there before King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king his dream. Listen to the confidence in that. That Daniel basically said, hey, you can put your sword down. I'm going to talk to the king first. And he went into the presence of the king. And he didn't make up stories. He didn't say, oh, king, we can't do this. He said, give me some time, king. Give me some time. I'll get back with you. Oh, even as Arioch came to kill Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Daniel was cool, calm, and collected. He responded with wisdom and discretion. He had some tact about himself. Daniel didn't rant. He didn't have an emotional episode. He didn't lose his senses or make excuses. Daniel didn't blame anyone else. He didn't have a pity party. He didn't try to run away. He said, let me talk to the king. The only way that Daniel could have that kind of confidence is if God was in control. Listen, in our life, when bad news comes our way, when things seem to be ripping us apart, the only way that we can have calmness and peace in our life is if God's in control. Yes, there will be things that hurt us. There will be things that come our way that we don't understand, and we wonder why, and we want to be angry at somebody. That's not the answer. It's realizing that God is still in control. And even though I don't have the answer, even though I don't understand everything, faith means I trust God through it all. And that He has knowledge way over here when I can only see right here? See, with the Lord guiding Daniel, he was confident to face the king. So often in our world, when things begin to fall apart or we get bad news, we just want to fix it. As men, as fathers, we just want to fix it. Wife is wanting to talk about some things going on in her life. We just want to fix her. Men, don't do that. Just listen. The greatest gift you can give your wife when she's upset is a hug and a listening ear. If you have duct tape, put it over your mouth. Don't say a word. She don't want you to fix it. She just wants you to listen. You see, when bad news comes or we feel like our little world is falling apart, we want to try to fix things. We want to wish it away. Or we'll get so absorbed in the troubles that we give away our peace and our joy. Has someone or something stolen your peace and stolen your joy? Sometimes there's situations that come up. We just sell out our peace that God gives us. We just throw away our joy. Listen, we need to protect by the power of the Holy Spirit the peace that God has given us. That's going to be okay. It will be okay. Just because we didn't get it our way doesn't mean that God's way is not better. His way is always better. Always better than we could ever imagine. God is really in control. We give our peace and joy away. We forget the passage where it says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Listen, when bad news comes, and it will, when situations arise, and they will, remember that the devil is trying to get a foothold in our life. If he can get us disrupted and he get our eyes off of God and get our eyes on our problem, he'll get a foothold, a stronghold in our life, and we'll get so angry and so bitter, we're miserable. We want to blame everybody. We even want to blame God. Why did he allow this to happen? He's stolen our peace. John 16:33, Jesus said this, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God's hand." Words of strength and encouragement that as those troubled times comes, don't lose ourselves. Don't hit rock bottom. Don't have an emotional episode. Don't rant about everything. Don't hold on to anger and bitterness. Trust God. See, you can say you are a person of faith, but you have to walk it. Faith is an action word. Faith is an action word. It's not only something you possess, it's something you do. Dave Willis said this, "When I'm worried, it's usually because I'm trying to do everything myself. When I'm at peace, it's usually because I remember that God is in control." The third lesson we see today out of this passage is that prayer moves us into God's will. Notice something. Prayer doesn't move God. It moves us. See, God is sovereign, and his will is the assured providence in which we align ourselves to live out our purpose. Verse 17 and 18 says, "Then Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what happened. He urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon." Daniel, when he met with the king, he went courageously. Why? Because he knew God had the answer. He already knew where the answer lied. It wasn't in him. Listen, when situations come in our life, most of the time the answer is not with us. And the answer is not with your friends that you get on the phone with. The answer is with one who knows all. There may be people who will listen, but their answers are not the answers you need. The answers you need is from God. Daniel met with his king. Then he went back home, and who did he talk to? His three friends. He says, guys, we need to pray. He didn't huddle up with them. What are we going to do? What's your advice, guys? No, he said, let's pray. And you seek God for the answer, and I'll seek God for the answer, and we'll get it. And Daniel was the one of vision. And they all began to pray, and Daniel got the vision that God needed of what King Nebuchadnezzar's dream was. Man, he begins to pray. Daniel's first action was to go to the one who had the answer. And man, you may be shaking the bushes everywhere else. You may be trying to find your answer that satisfies what you want to hear. Quit looking for the answer that satisfies what you want to hear and get with God and say, God, what's the answer? It may not be what you want to hear, but it's the truth and it's the answer. Great missionary of China, Hudson Taylor. On his first voyage over to China, got stuck in New Guinea. He was a man of prayer, a man of faith. Boats then didn't have motors like we do today. This was 1853, and he made his first trip over, got stuck in New Guinea because the wind quit blowing. And they were in a current, and the current was pushing them closer and closer to a reef. Hudson Taylor goes to the captain and says, what are you going to do? And they had long boats out, and the sailors were trying to pull the boat out of this strong current to no avail. The captain looked at Hudson Taylor and said, listen, we've done all that we could do. Hudson Taylor said, no, we haven't. There were three believers on that whole boat, the whole ship, three believers. He goes to those three believers. He says, listen, let's go to your room and pray. Go to your cabin and let's pray that God send a breeze. At some point during the night, Hudson Taylor got confirmation from God that he was going to send a breeze. He gets up immediately, goes to the captain. The captain was an unbeliever. He said, listen, put up the sail, God's sending a breeze. The captain said, no. He said, God confirmed to me that he's sending a breeze. And when he said that, the captain looked up on this sail and it began to flow in the wind. Immediately the captain opened up the sail and the breeze that God sent pushed him on forward toward China. You see, Hudson Taylor had the faith, and he prayed and he prayed, and he got those friends, kind of like the story of Daniel. He got his friends to begin to pray. And they prayed it through, and God answered them. God sent what they needed. Daniel prayed, and his friends prayed. When they faced their crisis situation, they had faith that God would send the answer, and he did. Verse 19 says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Listen, Daniel had no other resource but God. No man could reveal what the king's dream was in his own power. Only God could give him an answer. Daniel truly was desperately dependent upon God. Listen, that's where God wants us to be, desperately dependent upon him. Daniel aligned himself with God's plan and purpose through prayer. He aligned himself up with God. He said, God, I don't have the answer, but you do. God, line us up. And when the vision came and the interpretation came, what did Daniel do? He said he praised God.
He praised him. He didn't just say, thank you, Lord. He didn't say, well, I hope this works. Maybe this will get us off the hook. Listen, he hadn't even gone to the king yet, and he began to praise God. Maybe in your life, maybe you're going through something, and you've been praying, and God is showing you the answer, but it's not the answer you want. And God's saying, this, trust me. Start praising him. Praise him in the middle of that storm. Praise him when you feel hopeless, when you feel helpless. Praise him anyway. He'll lead you where he wants you to be. You see, it's not about aligning God up with our plan. It's us lining up with God's plan. And when we line up with God's plan, it's amazing the things that he removes from us and he brings into our life. More than we could ever imagine, hoped for, or dreamed of. Martin Luther said this, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of God's willingness. And Daniel began to praise God for the answer. The fourth lesson is this, and we're closing. We can trust God because he is in control. We can trust God because he is in control. See, knowing God is in control before a troubling situation enters our life frees us to live victoriously even as we go through adversity. Have you ever met those people that you know they're going through a difficult time? They're battling some life-changing illness. Man, their family's falling apart. There's death, there's loss, all kind of things. And they're still praising God. And you wonder, how can that be? How can they do that? See, they finally accepted the fact that God really is in control. They've just accepted that fact, that God really is in control. And it made them victorious. It freed them from trying to fix everything. It freed them to trying to figure it out. It freed them from all those things, so they still have their peace that is growing greater and their faith is growing because they are watching God the whole time. And so often what we want to do is watch our problems. We just look at our problems. We're looking over here at this situation, and it's affecting this one, and it's affecting this. We just want to look at our problems. And we fail to look at God because we so desperately want control, and we can't have it. We accept the fact that God is ultimately in control. We live in victory. Verse 27, 28. Daniel replied, there's no wise men, no enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw laying on your bed. With confidence, Daniel approached the king and revealed his dream. Listen, we need to go to God in confidence to know, God, you know the answer, even though I don't. And God, I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. But Lord, I tell you today that I trust you. And I will follow you because you've got it all figured out already. God brought glory to himself and deliverance to Daniel and his friends. And even Daniel was promoted. Listen, God used Daniel, and Daniel was promoted. And Daniel was just simply being faithful and putting his faith in action, and God took care of him in his situation. Listen, when your life seems out of control, rest assured that God is in control. Just rest assured that God is in control. It was said that keep trusting God. He's always in control, even when your circumstances may seem out of control. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I like this. It says, whatever your problem, do not nurse it, curse it, or rehearse it. Just hand it over to God, and he will reverse it. God will bring us where he wants us to be. God will teach us the things he wants us to learn. When we learn the very fact
that we need to live under His control in an out-of-control world. That we need to live under His power and to trust Him no matter what life brings us, no matter what our finances look like, no matter what our health looks like, no matter what our family situation looks like, no matter what losses we've had, no matter what we've had, just trust Him. Trust Him and follow Him. And He will make our path straight, way beyond our own understanding, way beyond. Will you trust God? Will you live under His control when your life seems uncontrollable? Let's pray together. Father God, today we're so grateful for the story of Daniel going through trials and tribulations. God, there's so much truth and so much gold and treasure that we can learn and apply to our own lives, God, because we get so off track. Father, teach us today to be submissive to You, to be obedient to You. And God, we live in peace, even when our life seems to be falling apart. In Your name we pray. Amen.